From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, it's time to let the Bible speak, and this is Alan Cairns as your host for the program. Today we continue with our studies in Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, on the glorious subject of redemption through Christ's blood. Wonderful redemption. Stay with us, and I trust the Lord will richly bless His word as we continue to study this theme with the help of the Spirit of God. But before we turn to Colossians 1:14, we will turn to Psalm 106, verses 24 and 25, for our daily devotional. The theme of these verses is murmuring. They recall the children of Israel's murmuring, "Yea, they despised the pleasant land, they believed not His word, but murmured in their tents, and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord." The children of Israel were a nation of murmurers. Numbers, which contains the record of their wilderness journeys, could be called the Book of Murmurings. The Israelites could always find something to grumble about. God names the sin of murmuring as one of the reasons for His judgments upon them in the wilderness. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 10, what we should learn from this. "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer." When will we realize that murmuring is a sin that not only displeases God and often discourages God's servants, but can also divide or destroy the work of God? Sir Winston Churchill used to tell the story of a family that went on a picnic. During the afternoon, their 5-year-old son fell into the lake. None of the adults could swim. At great personal risk, a stranger who was passing by plunged into the water fully clothed and managed to save the life of the drowning child and present him safe and sound to his mother. Instead of expressing her gratitude for saving her son's life, she complained to the hero, "Where's Johnny's cap?" She had found something to complain about, even when she should have been filled with gratitude. To those who use the tongue to murmur and complain, Paul wrote, "Do all things without murmurings." Or as a Swedish proverb says, "Those who wish to sing always find a song." Thomas Brooks supplies our thought for today. It is better to be mute than to murmur. In each broadcast here on Let the Bible Speak, we offer some free literature. One booklet we mention is A New Beginning, and I'd like to say a word to you about it. A New Beginning is an updated version. By updated, I refer mostly to the artistic presentation of the material, though the text has been slightly expanded. It's an updated version of a booklet I first produced in the 1970s. Since then, something around 500,000 copies have been distributed, and the Lord has richly blessed it. The booklet is a plain man's guide to what the Bible says on the matter of how to be saved. With an abundance of scripture quotation, it's an excellent yet simple presentation of the gospel to meet the needs of the lost. But it doesn't stop there. It goes on to explain the biblical basis of assurance and to give instructions in the first steps of the Christian life. If you're not saved and would like help in understanding God's way of salvation, if you battle with the matter of assurance, or if you're a young believer needing help in the first steps of your new life, then this booklet will help you. We'll be glad to send it to you free of charge if you write or call and request it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. And our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. We trust that you'll be in touch with us soon, and if you need to have one, we'll be delighted to send you A New Beginning. Thank you. As we continue with our studies in Colossians 1:14, having looked at the essence of redemption and the elements in redemption, we are currently stressing the experience of redemption. We have redemption. That is, it's a present possession, and we are going to show that it is a privileged possession because of our union with Christ's person. So let's turn to God's Word.
We have redemption. You immediately will see that this is a present possession. We have it. Let me emphasize that. The Lord says, and we read this morning in Isaiah 43, "Fear not, I have redeemed thee." I have redeemed thee. We have been redeemed. This is something that has happened. The results of it are ongoing. Our knowledge of it, our enjoyment of it should be increasing. But the truth is, our redemption is an accomplished redemption, and it's a present possession for the people of God. And we know it. Now this gets into an area that I am really only going to touch on because it would take me much too far afield. And that is the area of assurance. People who can say, "We have redemption," are saying, "We're saved and we know it. We know it. We have redemption. There is a certainty about this. There is an assurance about this. We have this. We possess this here and now." This is not something that we're leaving up to the judgment day to find out, are we going to heaven or are we going to hell? No, no. Paul says, we have this redemption. Remember what he's talking about, this freedom from the guilt and the curse and the condemnation and the dominion of sin. We have that. This forgiveness of all our sins, we have that. This fullness that is rightly ours in Christ, we have that. This future, seems strange to talk about as having a future, but you know what that means. While it's still ahead of us, yet we possess it. It's pledged to us. You remember the great promise of Jeremiah 29:11. "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end," our authorized version says. To give you an end and an expectation, it may be translated. Or, more popularly, to give you an assured future. I have this, says Paul. You have this. We know where we are going. Now this is a present assurance, brought to us by the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, on the basis of the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to listen to that again, because what I'm saying cuts right across the dumb, forgive the bluntness, but I am sick listening to this sort of rubbish from so-called Bible believers. This cuts right across the dumbness of the doctrine that is taught in so many churches and by so many preachers. How do you know you're saved? Well, I was sincere when I prayed. I hope you were. How do you know you were saved? Well, I made a decision and then I wasn't so sure, and so I just made it sure by making another decision. Well, how do you know the second decision was any better than the first one? Maybe you're just in that position tonight. Like a little dog running in ever decreasing circles after your own tail, constantly worrying, did I make the right decision? Did I pray the right prayer? Did I feel deeply enough? Did I weep enough? I trust. And I would say that there's only one way to come to Christ, and that is with all the sincerity and all the integrity and all the honesty of which any human being is capable. But that's not the basis of your assurance. Assurance is ministered by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God on the basis of what Christ has done. That's it. You know, until we get to that basis, I'm depending on the blood. It's not the strength of my faith, it's the strength of that which I am trusting in. It's not the strength of my action in believing. It's the glorious merit and power of the one in whom I am believing. That's what assures me. It's not that my decision is so perfect that it cannot fail. It is that Christ is so perfect that he cannot fail. That's the basis of assurance. This opens up a very deep vein of controversy that I will only suggest, and I will tell you right away that I believe what our confession of faith states in this, not because the confession states it, but because I believe it accurately reflects the full testimony of Scripture. This matter of assurance of faith was so new to the Reformers that men like Luther and Calvin tended to make the assurance of faith to be of the very essence of faith. In other words, if you are saved at all, you will have full assurance. After all, they came into full assurance. They came out of the darkness of Rome, where there was no such thing as being sure of salvation. To this day, this is the official dogma of the anti-Christian system of Rome. It is their official dogma. You cannot have assurance of salvation. Even the Pope. Well, from my point of view, I would say especially the Pope. But from their point of view, even the Pope cannot have assurance of salvation. So coming out of that humanly impenetrable darkness, the Reformers came into the joy of assurance. This is of the very essence of faith. Of course, that became a stumbling block to people who had to battle with doubts and fears, because not all could see as clearly the great truths involved in the objective application of the work of Christ, or should I say the application of the objective work of Christ to the soul. Our confession of faith makes it clear that while a person may have genuine saving faith and yet lack assurance or have bouts of lack of assurance, yet the normal experience of a redeemed soul is to know it. Assurance is something that God sets before us to be laid hold of by faith in Christ. And as the faith of the believer lays hold of Christ, the more he's taken up with the Savior, the more certain he will be. The more he's taken up with himself, the more doubtful he will be. The more Christ fills our heart, the more his absolute merit grips our soul, the more we'll be able to rejoice in this present personal possession we have redemption. This redemption brings us into a privileged position. You'll notice it says, in whom, that is, in the Son of His love, we have redemption. Now let me set this forth as a simple proposition, that redemption is experienced and enjoyed in union with Christ. In union with Christ. Now that word union is another one that is so vast in its importance. It lies very close to this redemption. And again, therefore, it lies at the heart of the gospel. Union with Christ. If you take the epistle to the Ephesians and the epistle to the Colossians, twin epistles, you will discover that in Christ is the key phrase of those epistles. In Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Paul is drumming this into the hearts and minds of the believers. What it is to be a Christian, what it is to be redeemed, is to be in Christ. Now, what does that mean? We're not talking about Christ in you. That's a great truth. Paul will deal with that later, if my memory is right, in verse 27 of this very chapter, Colossians chapter 1, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's wonderful that Christ abides within the believer. But this is saying you are in Christ. That's union. Now, what is it? Well, I'm going to give you a definition, and I hope that the Lord will seal it to your heart. As I sat in my study and thought of this, thought of what Louis Berkhof, the great American or Dutch-American theologian, said about union, and thought about it and played around with it a little bit, I felt that this is as simple and as far-reaching a definition of union as we will have at this time. Union with Christ is that oneness that exists between the Savior and believers, by virtue of which He is the source and the sustenance of spiritual life in them, and they are the recipients of all His saving merit and power. It's that last part that I think that most of the definitions of union leave out. It is this oneness of Christ and His people, whereby He is the source of their spiritual life. He is the sustenance of their spiritual life. And they receive from Him all, underline that, everything of His saving merit and His saving power. Now, this is the union that exists between a Christian and Christ. It's in Christ that we have redemption, because of the union we have with Christ's person.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now, that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.